Let's look at the parables. Matthew 13:11-13, he answered and said unto them, Because it is given unto you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but unto them, meaning the Jews, it is not given. For whosoever hath, to him shall be given, and he shall have more abundantly. But whosoever hath not, from him shall be taken away even that he hath. Therefore speak I to them in parables, because they seeing see not, and hearing they hear not, neither do they understand. It is Jesus who is saying, understanding of the kingdom is not given to everyone. We have immediately to agree or to disagree. We have to say Jesus is right or Jesus is not right. With the sovereign God, who does make selection among men? In the New Testament, it denotes not the mysteries, as the English words denotes, but that which being outside of range of unassisted natural apprehension can be made known only to divine revelation and is made known in a manner and at a time appointed by God and to those only who are illuminated by His Spirit. In the ordinary sense, a mystery implies knowledge withheld. Its scriptural significance is truth revealed. Hence the terms, especially associated with the subject, are made known, manifested, revealed, preached, and understood, and dispensation. Anyone else to whom it is not given will hear the word of the kingdom, verse 19, and will not understand it. The subject of Matthew 19:11 is the secrets hidden in the word of God about the kingdom of the heavens. These secrets are presented as the parables in verse 13. The kingdom of God in the book of Acts. Look at the commencement of this book of Acts. We find immediate reference to the kingdom of God. Through this book of Acts, the people addressed are always Israelites. This confirms what has been said in the chapter titled Adoption, where it has been shown that the sons of God are placed out of the national Israel. Those so placed have their inheritance in the kingdom of God. Acts 1:3, to whom also he showed himself alive after his passion by many infallible proofs, being seen of them 40 days and speaking of things pertaining to the kingdom of God. Acts 1:6, they ask of him, saying, Lord, wilt thou at this time restore the kingdom to Israel? Take careful note, Jesus does not say that the restoration of the kingdom of Israel will not take place, but that there is a God-appointed time to restore the kingdom of Israel. Nor does he say the promises made to King David and to the seed of his bowels on that throne is taken away. Denominational churches may say this and say that the disciples misunderstood, but God does not say it. When the prophets say that the power of the holy people would be scattered and that Israel would lose the knowledge of their identity until the time of restoration of the kingdom of Israel, this does not say that the Davidic covenant ceases to exist. It cannot cease because of God's oath. The restoration of all of the all things, Acts 3:21, includes the kingdom. It is the God of our fathers, verse 13, who brings this to pass. Our fathers isolates Israel only as being the recipients. Through repentance and belief, the iniquities of the father can be set aside under the New Testament to Israel. Those who hear Jesus as that prophet, verse 22, will not be destroyed from among the same people of Israel. Those left have an inheritance among the saints. This inheritance is the kingdom of God, Acts 8:12. But when they believe Philip preaching or proclaiming the things concerning the kingdom of God and the name of Jesus Christ, they baptized both men and women. So Philip taught the things concerning the kingdom of God. Also, even after Pentecost, the disciples were exhorted to continue in the faith to secure their inheritance. Acts 14:22, confirming the souls of disciples and exhorting them to continue in the faith that they would, through much tribulation, enter into the kingdom of God. The Apostle Paul consistently proclaimed the kingdom of God to Israelites only. His expounding was from the law and the prophets. If we do not go back to this foundation, then we will get it wrong. Even from a natural point of view, it cannot be reasonable to insist that Paul would teach about the law and the prophets to those who had no knowledge of the law and the prophets. Acts 19:8, and he went into the synagogue, disputing and persuading the things concerning the kingdom of God. Likewise, we must dispute and persuade the things concerning the kingdom of God. This was important to the Apostle Paul, and so it is important to us too. Acts 20 and verse 25. And now, behold, I know that you all, among whom I have been preaching, proclaiming the kingdom of God, shall see my face no more. In the previous verse, Paul says that his ministry as received from the Lord Jesus was to testify of the grace of God, relating this to the kingdom of God. Acts 28:3. It's, quote, to him he expounded and testified the kingdom of God, both out of the law of Moses, out of the prophets, from morning till evening. Once again, we see the expounding is from Moses and the prophets. At the end of the book of Acts, Paul speaks of the hardness of heart of those in Judah who would not hear the gospel, and thus he turned to proclaim the dispersed nations of Israel outside of Judah. These nations are described as being Gentiles by the translators. That these were the nations of Israel is fully in accord with the prophets. It cannot be denied that this last chapter of Acts speaks of the hope of Israel, verse 20, and that the Holy Ghost spoke to our fathers, verse 25. The peculiar people being addressed among those at Rome were Israelites, just as much as those from among the general population of Judea. Paul proclaimed in Rome for 2 years. This was the same gospel that he received in the beginning. He declared, the gospel which was preached and proclaimed of me is not after man, for I neither received it of man, neither was I taught it, but by the revelation of Jesus Christ, Galatians 1:11-12. If what is commonly taught today is after man, then it is time to reconsider what gospel is being proclaimed. At the end of this age, it is to be still the same gospel according to Jesus. Matthew 24:14, and this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached or proclaimed in all the world for a witness unto all nations, that is, the nations of Israel, and then shall the end come. While this was done once by 70 AD, it is still our job to go to the nation of Israel, not the Jews, with the gospel of the kingdom. The question must come to mind, why do ministers not expound the kingdom of the law and the prophets, as well as from the New Testament in the same way as the apostles? Could it be because the kingdom has a racial flavor and in the Old Testament, and that it does not fit into the doctrine of Balaam or popular concept about racism? They refuse to see the racial flavor of the New Testament because of this doctrine. The kingdom in the epistles. There are references to the kingdom of God in the epistles, but as shown, the people are still Israelites who are being addressed. The New Testament excludes fornicators, idolaters, adulterers, and effeminate, homosexuals, thieves, covetous, drunkards, revilers, and extortioners from entering the kingdom of God. Since Scripture says all Israel shall be saved, it is God's responsibility to bring all Israel to repentance to forsake such sins. The kingdom of God is always spoken of as being an inheritance. The majority of Bible teachers teach that all Christians are already in the kingdom instead of Christians being in the process of receiving or qualifying for the kingdom as heirs. This is the kingdom that Jesus will deliver up to the Father when he will have put down all rule and authority and power, 1 Corinthians 15:24. This inheritance of the brethren cannot be inherited by flesh and blood, 1 Corinthians 15:50, but only those who have changed at the trump of God, verse 52. Until this time, the gospel of the kingdom is to be proclaimed as a witness, and then shall the end come. Jesus here is speaking of the gospel of the kingdom of heaven, and this is to be proclaimed to the cities of Israel, Matthew 10:23, till the Son of Man has become. The entrance of Israelites into the kingdom of God is by inheritance and walking in the light so that the blood of Jesus is able to cover them, 1 John 7. The cities of Israel exist wherever Israel was scattered and where they exist today. There are many conditional scriptures to this end that include the word kingdom. Hebrews 12:28, wherefore we receiving the kingdom which cannot be moved, let us have grace, whereby we may serve God acceptably by reverence and godly fear. James 2:5, hearken, my beloved brethren, hath not God chosen the poor of the world, rich in faith and heirs of the kingdom, which he has promised to those who love him? 2 Peter 1:10-11, wherefore the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure, for if you do these things, you will never fall. For so an entrance shall be ministered unto you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom, and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Again, what is the time given for entrance to be ministered? What is the time of the promise? In Revelation, we find the time when comes salvation through the strength of the kingdom and of our God. Then reward is given unto thy servants, the prophets and the saints. This reward is given to no other. This is the receiving of the inheritance. As yet, we have only an earnest of this inheritance. Paul also talks of being translated into this kingdom of his dear son, Colossians 1:13. Being fellow workers into the kingdom of God, Colossians 4:11. Being called into the kingdom of glory, 1 Thessalonians 2:12. Being counted worthy of the kingdom of God, 2 Thessalonians 1:5. The appearing of his kingdom, 2 Timothy 4:1. Being preserved into his heavenly kingdom, 2 Timothy 4:18. Well, what is being said? The intention of this chapter is to show why the commission of proclamation of the gospel of the kingdom of heaven is not observed today. Accordingly, we have looked at the original formation of what is described as the throne of the Lord and his kingdom in the Old Testament. Then we have considered the promises made to King David about the seed from our bowels, from your bowels, namely, that this seed would be on the throne for all generations. We saw that there is no room for spiritualizing that throne or the seed upon it. The throne of David is the throne Jesus takes as the lawful descendant of David's seed. Through the Acts and the Epistles, we see the kingdom is always connected with Israel only, both before and after New Testament was made with Israel. If these things are not believed, or if they are spiritualized away totally, then the kingdom of heaven and the restoration of the kingdom of Israel cannot be proclaimed. Any other gospel that is being taught cannot be the gospel of God's grace to his kingdom people. We are to proclaim the gospel of the kingdom of heaven, the gospel of the kingdom of God, and not the gospel of personal salvation. The church, in its most popular modern concept, has nothing to do with the Bible. It has nothing to do with the kingdom of heaven over Israel. So the question becomes, how do we present the gospel of the kingdom? What is it that we are asking people to do? We will have to look at what Jesus and John the Baptist did, Matthew 3:1. In those days came John the Baptist preaching in the wilderness of Judea, saying, "Repent ye, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." Matthew 4:17. From that time Jesus began to preach and to say, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." The first thing that these messages demand was that they were to know that the mission was the reestablishment of the kingdom of Israel with all the tribes, the house of Judah having first dibs. The first requirement for the reunification of Israel was the redemption of the Israelites and their repentance from breaking the laws of the covenant. This would require that they believe Jesus was the Messiah, Redeemer, and that he is Emmanuel, Jehovah God in the flesh. As Jesus told Nicodemus, if they were not born of the first seed, Yahweh and Adam, spirit and water, they could not believe and would not understand the kingdom nor enter in it, John 3:5. Acts 1:3, to whom also he showed himself alive after his passions by many infallible proofs, being seen of them 40 days, and speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God. The opening verses of the book of Acts was to confirm that Jesus, the anointed mission from start to finish, was the kingdom of Israel. Who it was for, who could be included, who could not be included, who could not enter, how the Israelites were to be reunited in the kingdom. Mark 15:43, Joseph of Arimathea, an honorable counselor, which was also waited for the kingdom of God, came and went in boldly unto Pilate and craved the body of Jesus. Joseph of Arimathea believed Jesus' mission was to bring in the kingdom of Israel and was anxious for it. Acts 1:6, when they therefore were come together, they asked of him, saying, "Lord, wilt thou at this time restore the kingdom of Israel?" And he said unto them, "It is not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father hath put in his own power." His own disciples knew his mission and asked him as he was about to leave if the kingdom was to be restored at that time. Christ did not deny the restoration of the kingdom of Israel to Israel. He simply said that the timing was not for them to know. Acts 14:22, confirming the souls of the disciples and exhorting them to continue in the faith, and that we must, through much tribulation, enter into the kingdom of God. The apostles taught the people to accept persecution for believing, teaching, and living the kingdom message. Acts 20:25, "And now, behold, I know that ye all, among whom I have gone preaching the kingdom of God, shall see my face no more." Paul preached the kingdom and the gospel of the kingdom. Romans 14:17, "For the kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. The apostles taught that the kingdom was righteousness, the righteousness of Christ and his law. 1 Corinthians 6:9, know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God, but be not deceived, neither the fornicator, idolaters, adulterers, effeminate, abusers of themselves with mankind. Righteousness and holy living is a requirement to inherit the kingdom. This is accomplished by preaching and teaching the law to produce repentance and obedience to the law. Today, part of that law would be the condemnation of the doctrine of Balaam, illicit sex, aborticide, mixed cohabitation, racial mixing, and letting the priests of Baal educate our children in the public school system and colleges. Colossians 4:11, and Jesus, which is called justice, who are of the circumcision, these only are my fellow workers unto the kingdom of God, which have been a comfort unto me. Paul believed he was working in the kingdom at that time, even unto our time. 1 Thessalonians 2:12, that we would walk worthy of God who hath called you into or unto his kingdom and glory. God does the calling only of his elect. 2 Thessalonians 1:4, so that we ourselves glory in you and the churches of God for your patience, your faith, in all your persecutions and tribulations that ye endure, which is a manifest token of the righteous judgment of God, that ye may be counted worthy of the kingdom of God, for which ye also suffer. Endurance, patience, are traits we must have. There are many more things in the scriptures about what we need to be preaching about the kingdom and the kingdom of God.